Good morning, and also a blessing to each one of you. Again, it's a privilege for me to be here with you this morning. Such a blessing to be together with God's children and to enjoy together His Word and His encouragement in song and just feeling His presence with us. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, again, we just bow here, thanking You, praising You for Your love, thanking You for Your mercy, thanking You that we again, today, can have faith in You and can trust in You. And even though our faith is small, and even though we are weak, You are strong, and You are great, and You are high, and You are holy. Father, we want to continue keeping it that way, us small, and You great, so that You can do Your will in each one of us, and so that we would never limit You in what You can do in our hearts and our lives. Continue to bless us this morning, Father. Speak to us from Your Word as You have been speaking. Thank You in the name of Jesus. Amen. First of all, I'd like to start reading here in Matthew 1 and verses 1 through 6 and then 16. And because of what it is and the names and such, I'm actually choosing to read it in a different version. It says, "A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nashon, Nashon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." And as was mentioned earlier, today is Mother's Day. And I just want to bless you, mothers, this morning for your commitment, for your love, for your sacrifice, for your devotion. You mothers have done so much for all of us. And this morning I'd like to just talk a little bit about Jesus' mothers. And if you ever want to do a fascinating study, do an in-depth study of Jesus' mothers, the mothers that the Bible mentions in Jesus' genealogy. Fascinating study. And I'm going to be touching on all of them, but just sort of going through fast. I think we could take a message on each one of them and enlarge on what happened to them. Now, can someone tell me who are the mothers that it mentions specifically? One of them? Rahab? Ruth? Bathsheba? Tamar? And one more. Mary. There you go. thought for sure at least someone would figure that one out. I've always wondered, you know, in the genealogy, as you read through the genealogy, you read that this person was a son of this person, and the son of this one, and the son of the other one. But then it inserts these five women's names in there. And they weren't all, like we have in Spanish, we have an expression, una monedita de oro. They weren't all a little gold coin. Quite the interesting stories. And why did Jesus, or why did God choose, of all these women, why did He choose to mention these five? Hopefully, as we look at these stories, as we take a brief look at it, it will inspire you, mothers, to follow God in your circumstances. And for us who aren't mothers, hopefully it will give us an insight into some of the unique situations mothers face. And some of them, many of them, are out of mothers' controls. And yet, this is what they go through. And a lot of these things, you know, they do it, why? They do it for us. They do it for us as their children. Let's start, first of all, in Luke chapter 1. And we'll start reading in verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. What would you have done if you would have been in Mary's situation? And she asked one of those logical questions. How is this going to be? Come on. I don't even live with a man. What would you have done? What would you have done with the exciting news? Can you imagine being told that you are going to have a son conceived by the Holy Spirit, the Son of God. What would you have done later with the whispering, the condemnation, the rejection? Can you imagine what that woman went through for saying, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord"? You know, a lot of times we read these stories and just sort of, well, that's just how it was. But can you imagine how it was with her? What all she went through to do that? For being willing to do this. And she had a choice. And yet she went ahead and did it. Even Jesus, later, they told him, he said, "You were born of fornication." He said, "We weren't." There was something that followed Jesus. It is something that, it's a story that followed Mary. Yet she was willing to go through this. And it says later, after Jesus was born, and there in the temple, she pondered these things in her heart. She continued thinking about these things. And I'm sure there were many dark times in her life when she could have given herself over to depression, to just wallowing in self-pity for what had happened to her. Because she said she accepted what God wanted for her life. Following God isn't always easy. It's hard. There's many times, lots of ramifications that we don't think about. Lots of hard things that can come to us simply because we make a decision. Yes, I'm going to follow God. Thankfully, we don't know down the road what's happening. But God gives us grace for each day. Just like He did Mary. And I don't know, you mothers, what you're going through. What the things are that you're facing. But hopefully you'll say like Mary did, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." Next we'll look at Genesis chapter 38. Genesis 38, and we will start reading in verse 1. Genesis 38:1. "And it came to pass at that time that Judah went down from his brethren and turned into a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua. And he took her, and he went in unto her, and she conceived and bare a son, and he called his name Ur. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she called his name Onan. And she yet again conceived and bare a son, and called his name Shelah. And he was at Chezeb when she bare him. And Judah took a wife for Ur the firstborn, whose name was Tamar. And Ur, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord slew him. And Judah said unto Onan, Go in unto thy brother's wife, and marry her, and raise up seed to thy brother. And Onan knew that the seed should not be his. And it came to pass, when he went in to his brother's wife, that he spilled it on the ground, lest that he should give seed to his brother. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord, wherefore he slew him also. Then said Judah to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, Remain a widow in thy father's house, till Shelah my son be grown. For he said, Lest peradventure he die also, as his brethren did. And Tamar went, and dwelt in her father's house. And in process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. And Judah was comforted, and he went up unto his sheep shearers to Timnath, he and his friend Hira, the Adullamite. And it was told Tamar, saying, Behold, thy father-in-law goeth up to Timnath to shear his sheep. And she put her widow's garment off from her, and covered her with a veil, and wrapped herself, and sat in an open place, which is by the way to Timnath. For she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given unto him to wife. And when Judah saw her, he thought her to be a harlot, because she had covered her face. And he turned unto her by the way, and said, Go to, I pray thee, let me come in unto thee. For he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, What wilt thou give me, that thou mayest come in unto me? And he said, I will send thee a kid from the flock. And she said, Wilt thou give me a pledge, till you send it? And he said, What pledge shall I give thee? And she said, Thy signet, and thy bracelets, and thy staff that is in thy hand. And he gave it her, and came in unto her, and she conceived by him. And she arose, and went away, and laid by her veil from her, and put on the garments of her widowhood. And Judah sent the kid by the hand of his friend the Adullamite, to receive his pledge from the woman's hand. But he found her not. Then he asked the men of that place, saying, Where is the harlot that was openly by the wayside? And they said, There was no harlot in this place. And he returned to Judah and said, I cannot find her. And also the men of the place said that there was no harlot in this place. And Judah said, Let her take it to her, lest we be ashamed. Behold, I send this kid, and thou hast not found her. And it came to pass about 3 months after that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, hath played the harlot. And also, behold, she is with child by whoredom. And Judah said, Bring her forth, and let her be burnt. When she was brought forth, she sent to her father-in-law, saying, By the man whose these are, am I with child. And she said, Discern, I pray thee, whose these are, the signet, the bracelets, and staff. And Judah acknowledged them, and said, She hath been more righteous than I, because that I gave her not to Shelah, my son. And he knew her again no more. What would you have done if you were Tamar? What would you have done with her grief, her loneliness, her rejection, her unfair treatment? Have any of us been treated that way? Mothers, have you been treated that way? You know, what would you have done with that? Listen to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. And again, we're going to start reading in verse 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out to Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men which are come to thee, which are entered into the house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the 2 men and hid them, and said thus, There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way of Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which had pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, and when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. And that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, Our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business, and it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by the cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, We will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made to swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all the father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, According unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went, and came into the mountain, and abode there 3 days, until the pursuers returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned, and descended from the mountains, and passed over, and came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, Truly, the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. And this then in chapter 6, verse 25, it says, And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel, even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. What would you have done in Rahab's situation? Can you put yourself there in her situation? What would you have done? How would you have reacted? What would you have done with her hard situation? The Bible doesn't tell us why she was a harlot. Maybe it was because of her hard financial situation. And you know that promiscuity always leaves its scars and its hurts. But that is what Rahab lived with. What would you have done if you're in her shoes with the God she was hearing about? They heard all these things. They heard about this God. Everyone in Jericho heard about it. It was Rahab and her family who were saved. What would we have done if we would have been there in Jericho that day? It's interesting that she took that scarlet cord and hung it there immediately. And the other thing that is interesting, when they went out around the walls of Jericho, and they shouted there at the last on the seventh day, what happened? The walls fell down. Now, one of you children, where did Rahab live? Where did Rahab live? Where? Okay, she lived in Jericho. But where in Jericho? Yes? Okay, at the edge. Can you tell me more specifically where on the edge? Yes? On the wall. The wall fell. And according to archaeology, the wall fell inwards. And yet the piece of wall where Rahab's house was did not fall. The rest of the wall fell down. Interesting. Rahab had faith. And I think because of what she did, that is why she's mentioned. What would we have done if we would have been there? Next, we'll turn to the book of Ruth. And we'll start reading in verse 1 of chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab, the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth unto the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, and if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes, that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people, and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. I had to think of what Brother Harold was mentioning this morning. Not because he was any better was he kept from being shot at that time. And others have been killed. Here Naomi lost her husband, lost her two sons. And she was feeling, well, the Almighty has testified against me. You know, who knows what I've been doing wrong. But does God ever do anything wrong? What would you have done in Ruth's situation? What would you have done with her grief? Lost her father-in-law, her husband, her brother-in-law. These three women lost their financial security. There they were. Three women. What could they do? What were they going to do? What would you have done with the possibility of rejection? Go to another people. Go to another culture. Another language. What would you have done? And not only was it that, it was also a different God. Would you have loved God enough to leave the little security you did know? The possibility of getting married. You left all you knew and was dear, even the family. Would you have left that for following after God? Ruth did. Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. That was quite a mouthful, if you think about it. She didn't know yet what all she was going to face. And she was an outsider. And she was, as it worked for the Israelites, it wasn't just, they would have had to get rid of outsiders so they don't get contaminated by their gods. And yet here was someone that did come in. Why did Jesus choose Ruth? Or why did God choose to be in Jesus' genealogy. Reading on in chapter 4. Beginning there in verse 1. We see the conclusion of this story. This was after she had come and Boaz got to know her. She had been working in his fields. And then they found out, Boaz found out that she was a near kinsman. And that he was in line. He was actually the second one in line to take her as his wife, to continue on the inheritance as well as the name of those who had died. Now, whose mother was, what was Boaz's mother's name? Rahab. Does that give you a little bit of insight into who Boaz was? Again, as I looked at that, I was like, wow, that is amazing. He knew some of that kind of a struggle. Chapter 4, verse 1. Then went Boaz up to the gate, and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down, and he took 10 men of the elders of the city, and said, Sit down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Verse 5. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the land of the hand of Naomi? Thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, Ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among the brethren, and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses to this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephrata, and be famous in Bethlehem, and let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah of the seed, which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And then he went in unto her. The Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto her, Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, and his name, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child, and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi." And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Would our story have been like Ruth's? Would we have done what Ruth did? A decision that affected many generations. A decision that affects us today. One woman, one day, out there on this dusty road leading back to Bethlehem. And she said, "I will follow God." And those words affect us today. She became the mother of Jesus. Second Samuel, chapter 11. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Raba. But David tarried still in Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide, that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her. For she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, "I am with child." And David sent to Joab, saying, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, "Go down to thy house, and wash thy feet." And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, "Uriah went not down into his house," David said unto Uriah, "Camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down into thine house?" And Uriah said unto David, "The ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents. And my lord Joab and the servants of the Lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest, and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing." And David said to Uriah, "Tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart." So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and made him drunk. And at even he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of the Lord, but he went not down to his house. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter, saying, "Set ye Uriah in the forefront in the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die." And it came to pass, when Judah observed the king, that he assigned Uriah to a place where he knew the valiant men were. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab. And there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. Then Joab sent and told David all the things concerning the war, and charged a messenger, saying, "When thou hast made an end of telling the matters of the war unto the king, and if so be that the king's wrath arise, and he say unto thee, 'Wherefore approach ye so nigh unto the city when ye did fight? Knew ye not that they would shoot from the wall? Who smote Abimelech, the son of Jerubbesheth? Did not a woman cast a piece of a millstone upon him from the wall, that he died in Thebes? Why went ye nigh to the wall?' Then say thou, 'Thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also.' So the messenger went and came and showed David all that Joab had sent him for. And the messenger said unto David, surely the men prevailed against us and came out unto us in the field, and we were upon them even unto the entering of the gate. And the shooters shot from off the wall upon thy servants, and some of the king's servants be dead, and thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. Then David said unto the messenger, thus shalt thou say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city, and overthrow it, and encourage thou him. And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah her husband was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife, and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. What would you have done in Bathsheba's situation? What could she do? What would you have done with her sin, her guilt, her condemnation? What would you have done with the gossip, the grief? Think about it. And after all that, what would you have done? Then you would have been taken to the king's house. There were you were just one more woman. And by that time, I think he had like 7 or 8 of them. Can you imagine a busy king? All these women trying to get a little share of his time. I know my wife even sometimes feels like she doesn't quite get enough of my time. Here she was. She had all these things in her past already. All these hurts and all these things that she knew weren't right. And then she had to deal with the jealousy, with the intrigue, and the hatred of the other women. And if you read sort of between the lines of the rest of the story and how things went on in the household, you read these things in there. What would you have done? And later her son died. And yet God redeemed that situation. And he gave her another son. Solomon. Who was of the lineage of Jesus. Hard situations. And yet each one of them dealt with their things. And in some way continued walking after God, even with their failures, even with the things they went through. Even with their mistakes, yet they continued walking after God, and He used them. God loves all of us, even when we fail and go through hard times. And He, as well as He was back then with those women, He's still in the process of redemption for each one of us. Each one of us. And He's interested in each one of us and in our story. Even though we think it's insignificant, And we are insignificant, and yet God has a specific story for each one of us. He has a plan for us, even when we don't understand it. If you look at those five women, what did they understand of God's plan? What really did they know of the big picture? They really didn't. Mary was told a little bit. Bathsheba knew a little bit of the prophecy. And yet they knew very, very little. Yet God had a plan for each one of them. Even though they didn't understand it, He had a plan. And even though we don't understand it, God has a plan for us. And especially you mothers. So many times it's hard. The day-to-day grind of the household. The children. But what does the Lord have? We don't know. We don't know what the Lord wants to do with your faithfulness and your children. We don't know. Yet He has a plan. And that's why I want to bless each one of you. Because the Lord has a plan. And the Lord knows. And He wants us to continue faithful unto the end. May the Lord bless you.
To think that it's amazing how God has shown that He uses imperfect situations to fulfill His plan. He didn't use perfection down through the ages, but He used outsiders that were brought in. And that's because it's in the divine plan of God, isn't it? Because God wants to use outsiders. God wants to use people who are not where everything is perfect and everything is right. And that gives us room to be used of God, because we likewise have not been perfect, have had our failures, and yet God has been able to redeem us. I like that whole story of redemption so much there in the book of Ruth. That's who we are. We have been redeemed to God's glory, to be used of God, and praise His name for that. Yes, amen. God bless the mothers likewise who, like we say, have been used of God in many, many ways to fulfill His purpose and His will by serving and bearing children and bringing leaders into the world many times that have made a tremendous impact upon the world, upon society, the salvation of many, preaching the gospel, being missionaries, so many things.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.